Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
We always talk about that little kid's video where he says, I'm on the nice list, actually. And so many times we think that we're on the not so nice list, but actually it's because somebody else is just kind of punking us. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And we're going to actually deal with hurt. Anybody in here at all of our campuses, raise your hand if you've been hurt. Hurt. They say that home is where the heart is. But oftentimes now I think about it through life being 51 years old, and home is where the hurt is. It's where people that love you hurt you, and oftentimes they don't mean to hurt you, but they just hurt you and desert you. And the reason why this feels so bad and hurts so bad is because we've been looking for somebody to kind of fill our holes, especially if you've been through abuse or abnormal use and you were hurt in a relationship, a divorce, a betrayal. And so now, you know, when I first met Nicole, she was looking for somebody to say she was pretty because she didn't feel like she was pretty. When I told her she was prettier, she was no prettier than she was a moment before I told her she was pretty, but I filled that gap in her life. If we're not careful, though, then I actually become the person who she gets all of her love from, all of her acceptance from, and now she would be needy or clingy or just look to me. And unfortunately, if you could picture it right now, it's like a big dam holding back a big lake. And now the dam springs the leak, and now I would stick my finger through the dam, and then the leak would go away. But if I would ever need to, for instance, take that finger away and go to the bathroom or take that finger away and pick my nose, come on, somebody ought to help me with this today. Then all of a sudden, that person would feel like they weren't loved because they're actually asking a person to fill a hole that they can't fill. And that's where Jesus comes in, is he can heal the hurt that we have. He can deliver us and set us free and make us God-dependent instead of codependent upon other people. So hurt. I think the greatest hurt that has ever happened to me, and I've had a lot of it, was really because I love somebody. And when you love somebody, all of a sudden now you love them, and now they hurt you, and then the hurt eventually can turn into animosity and pain, and now the hurt is actually hate. I'm thinking about a guy, Royal Palm, some of you weren't around when we first started the church there in West Palm Beach, and I had hired a guy to be a campus pastor. And I didn't know the guy that well. You know, you hire a lot of people. I met some people right before church, and a lot of times if they're a pastoral position, they'll, as the church have grown, they'll run those people past me. A lot of people get hired, and I don't have anything to do with it. But if it's a platform capacity, most of the time, I'll meet you for a few minutes, and I kind of get that yay or nay kind of vibe. But this is years back, and we hired this guy. Now, I really liked him. Then I grew to love him. But the problem is, if you fall in love with a liar, then sometimes you can really get hurt because who you thought they were, they're not at all. This is back before you would do FaceTime, surprise people, back before we were all, you know, understood just all these live environments weren't really where they are now. So I just assumed he was working all the time. I was in St. Louis a lot back then. I couldn't be at Florida. And he had another job out somewhere else a couple hours away, and he was going there and then coming back here. And then we started noticing at the church that there were some problems going on, and people were coming up to me going, Pastor so-and-so has me in his private group, and I'm actually getting baptized by him in a non-sanctioned baptism thing that we didn't know anything about. This guy who I loved hurt me deeply because he tried within our church to destroy and sabotage the church and build a church on his own out of our church. And that happens. How many of y'all have had things like that happen in business? So it happens the same way in church. But it hurt deeply when I found out about it because I had given myself, you know, my dad always said, people think you are what they actually are. So, you know, because you're honest and because you're pure, all things are pure. And so we tend to trust. Well, then I had people come into the church. This is where the rubber meets the road this weekend. Can I preach real today? And I thought a lot about this. I almost told you a million other stories beside this one because I would never want you to doubt a preacher, but it's good for you to know if you didn't know already through a Google search, they all have problems. Can I get amen? And so I was hurting there and watching that. And then I remember the Sunday that we actually had to fire him once we found out that we have a lot of things and measures in place in the church that we know when somebody is stealing and the bank doesn't match up. And then all this stuff started coming up. And then I got to go to church one Sunday after we had to let him go, terminate him, fire him. And I went there, and he had went to all those people that he knew were the main donors, the main, you know, time, talent, treasure people. And I was preaching, and I could see them all looking at me like, you dirty bird, we know what you are, and we know you're a bad guy. And I had to preach past that pain, because the tendency was to tell them, I want to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and all the truth today, which would have exposed him, but it would have made me go down to his level, and my hurt would have made harm. Come on, Stutters. Say amen to that. My haste would have made more hurt. So then I had people that were new believers in Palm Beach County who got saved in my ministry and came to the church, and they were at the end just so disappointed, and they want nothing to do with God, nothing to do with me, nothing to do with him, nothing to do with the church. And that guy works a regular job now because his plan didn't work, not because I tried to hurt the plan, but the Bible said, you'll know them by their fruit. So at the end of the day, the people that you think you hate right now, let's take a step back. Here's the question I have for you. How many people have hurt you and you thought you couldn't get through the pain, you couldn't get through the divorce, you couldn't get through the betrayal, you thought it was going to kill you? Time passed, and now you don't even think about that anymore. Raise your hand at home if it's you. We can get through it. We're strong. Oftentimes, though, when I really trace it down, it's because we want something. I needed a campus pastor. I'm 1,100 miles away, and we have great loyal people here, and I need somebody loyal there. Hence why my grandson was just born in Palm Beach, Florida. Come on, somebody, because I sent him down, because I know what he is. And then, of course, he's built past all that. But because I needed a campus pastor, or you need a man, or you need a wombed man, we need somebody to fill our holes, fill the spots, actually make us better. So then we grab for something too hastily. There's a story in the Bible about a guy by the name of Abraham and a girl by the name of Sarah, and they're nearly 100 years old. They have a dream to have children. But how many of y'all know, if you ain't had no children and it's almost 100 years old, chances are Viagra is not even going to help you at this point. So one day, Abraham's out working. Sarah's at home hanging out. Her maid always gets done cleaning in the doing the beds, doing the laundry, and now she's sitting down with Hagar, her maid. She's looking at her, and all of a sudden she has a really good idea. I love this girl. This girl actually, she's a childbearing age, and I got an idea. Everybody shout, I got an idea. Sometimes you can get a good idea, but not a God idea, and then you have a rogue campus pastor or a rogue relationship, because what we do is we don't wait for God's set time, so we try to bring order and structure and say, God, I'm going to help you out on this, and God's saying, I really don't need your help. Kind of like the mechanic shop where it says our rate is $80 an hour, $90 an hour if you watch, $150 an hour if you help. So God's like, I don't need your help, but she looks over and she says, I got an idea. So she's, pay attention to this, she starts thinking about it. I don't know what would happen if I asked Abraham to get with her. How would that affect me? But you know what? I want a baby so bad. I need a baby. This will fill my hole. This will fill that slot that I'm leaking. This will make me feel valuable, make me feel important. And so then one day, after thinking about it for a while, by the way, I want to pause and say, you got to be careful what you think about. As a man think is, so is he. You know, just inadvertently winding up, you know, destroying your life. Nobody says, I want to wake up today and do something stupid, so I go to federal prison the rest of my life. You start thinking you're going to outsmart the system. It got quiet in here because there's a lot of criminals, if you're wondering. We still have an audience. So Abraham comes home and she says, Abraham, I've been thinking. You know, Hagar, our maid, I just really love her. She really loves us. I say that, why don't you go in with her and make us a baby? And he said, okay. So now they do what they do under Old Testament law, and they get together, and now they go in and they have a relationship. And now, as soon as she has this relationship, now it's just not the same anymore. When they sit down in the morning to have tea together, how many of y'all know, it's just uncomfortable now. You were with him, she was with you.
It's getting so quiet in this Presbyterian church today. This is real. It's just awkward. And he said, from that moment on, that the mistress, now we're calling her a mistress, the maid never looked at Sarah the same, and Sarah never looked at her. Now, they loved each other, but now this hurt came in. Now, 9 months later, they have a little baby, and this little baby's, his name's Ishmael. Ishmael's not the promised child. We know Isaac's going to come 13 years from now, but now they've got what they wanted. Sarah's holding the baby thinking it was going to make her happy, but she looked and thought, it looked just like her. Why is that baby crying all the time? Why is Abraham laying down watching Monday Night Football, rolling around playing with that child? Wait a minute. This was your idea, but because you never dealt with the hurts of your past, you're trying to put something in your present that will plug the hole on the leak, when really that could, somebody ought to help me today. It only comes from God. Come on, Florida. And I'm not pointing any fingers. Because I've done this. The reason why, man, you sound like Dr. Phil. I'm an expert in unhealthy relationships. So now 13 years pass. And God, at the set time, puts an anointing upon Abram. And he becomes Abraham. And puts an anointing on Sarai. And she becomes Sarah. And now they have the promised child. And then now one day, Sarah looks out. Already he's 13. How many of y'all know you're really going to hate this kid now that's not really your kid that lives with you? I'm talking about blended families right now. I had a tendency when Austin, I got him when he was 7, when he was like 12 and 13, and I come home and there's shoes bigger than mine laying around and I'm tripping over, and he's talking about his dad, and he's talking about, I had to say, okay, Kurt is not my enemy. Kurt is my friend. Instead, I was thinking, there's the guy that slept with my wife. No, it wasn't my wife he slept with. That was his girlfriend, and God brought them into my life, and now no longer am I looking at the pain of Austin's not mine. I embraced him as my own, and then God worked it all together for are good. Blended family. Instead of mine, his, and ours, it's no, we're one family. So now he's 13 and he leaves all the lights on around the house. He's talking back to Abram. And Hagar doesn't mind because it's just boys will be boys. But Sarah's like, I wouldn't let him talk to me if I were you like that. She's got all this animosity, all this hurt, all this hostility, because when hurt turns to hate, then the next thing is hostility. And one day she happens to look outside and this 13-year-old is kind of razzing, punking, taunting, little promised child, and she flies off the handle and she says, Abraham, get rid of that woman and get rid of that child. Because hurt turned to hate, hate turned to hostility, and hostility turned to get out of this house. This is the same woman that we saw earlier who said, hey, I got a good idea. I know what a lot of guys were thinking, man, that's a woman for you, changing her mind. Now, we all do this. This is a man thing and a woman thing. We all do it. Today, we're not going to point any fingers, but now Abram is faced with the pain of going and telling Hagar and his son, his biological son, I hate to tell you this, but you have to leave now. Read it. And now they're gone. Banished. Not talking anymore. So now Abraham has to deal with all the hostility and all the pain. Woman, it was your idea. I can't believe you made me do this. How many of y'all know she didn't twitch his arm too hard? Come on, somebody help me. Raise your hand if you know men. If you don't, let me tell you, I think this was an easy sell. So now everybody's blaming everybody instead of accepting responsibility and realizing, and let's talk about that a minute, that we all have responsibility. Response, break the word down, ability. You have the ability of how you respond. As an adult, I'm 51, and I don't allow myself to do all the things I did when I was 19 or 20. In fact, most of the time, you can get by with a lot of stupidity until you hit 30, because you can always just say, even if you were 29, 95, you can say, I was in my 20s.
But now, when I was a child, the Bible says, I spake as a child, I thought as a child. But when I become a man, a mature believer, I had to put away childish things, and I had to say, no, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, Florida. Listen to me on all campuses. We have to actually refrain. We have the ability from reacting. Even sometimes I know things are wrong, and people ask me to do them, and because I want to do them, and they're wrong, I have done wrong, knowing what was right. Thank you, ma'am. Could I get one more? Anyway, this could build into something right now. Anybody ever known what you were doing? You're like, God, forgive me for what I'm about to do. And then you come in and say, I'm on the nice list, actually. But when you're angry and people are punking you, you go, I'm going to punch his beard off. And he was processing. You can see the little boy processing, but he was ready to regurgitate back immediately. I'm on the nice list, actually. And I'm telling you that we are on the nice list, that God's grace is sufficient for us. And we can't get other people to fix us. And nobody else can have our baby for us. And nobody else can fix us but Jesus. And you'll be sorely disappointed whether you're looking for an employee, a campus pastor, a soulmate, or a child, if you don't fix your hope upon Jesus at the set time. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. At the set time, God will do it. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning or the set time. So we got to deal with our stuff. Years and years ago, speaking of hurt people hurting people, by the way, the story I just told you was out of Genesis, the 16th chapter. And we're going to kind of cruise a couple of those scriptures before we go. Something really bad happened to me when my dad died. When my dad died 17 years ago, at the same time, my mom a lot went the wrong direction. And it was bad. It was really, really a tragedy. It happened. And she did stuff that was so harmful to the church and so harmful to me that it was just devastating what she did. And I remember I wanted to, listen to me, Florida, I wanted to not be responsible for my actions. I wanted to respond back. You did this, I'm going to tell the truth. And I believe in the truth, but I believe sometimes it's very hard to bite your tongue and go, I know the truth, but I'm not going to do that because I'm going to walk in the love of God no matter how they respond. Okay? So I did that. Then I found myself preaching for a friend of mine in Frisco, Texas. And I was praying, and every time I would pray, because this is a long time ago, but I still knew I had hurt that was festering into hate. My mom never raised Ashton. Can you imagine that? Not seeing that beautiful little chubby little face with these little, how could she possibly not hold her? How could she love them but not my family? And what in the world's going on? In other words, I was looking for help. I was looking for a plug. I was looking for somebody to love me, and I really, really needed it to come from her. And now my dad's gone, and now she's gone at the same time. But my dad had no choice, but she decided to. And so now I have all this hurt. I'm talking to somebody right now. But now this hurt's actually hurting our home because I'm ticked off all the time. And I made a decision to send my mother every Monday $1,000 every Monday morning, and I've done that and can prove to you by check stubs every Monday for 17 years. It has never, ever failed. Even though my mother hates me, I don't hate her. And here's the reason why I don't hate her. The reason why I don't hate her is I did not allow myself to hate her because she hurt me deeply. Then blames it on me, but I'm not going to say, hey, no, I didn't ruin your life. You got married to a guy, and then you got married to another guy, and your whole life. How many of y'all know you know them by their fruit? Yeah. And so now I'm in Frisco, Texas, and I'm praying, and I'm trying to preach at this huge church down there, and God speaks to me, and he says, write your mom a letter. He said, you don't have to mail it with a stamp, but you do have to put it in the mailbox. I wanted to put up a mailbox like I actually put it in. The real old school mailbox is like this. I dropped it in a real mailbox. So God tells me, he says, you don't actually have to mail it, put a stamp on it, but you do have to put it in a mailbox. And I ask for these mailboxes because every year when we go to the Macy's Day Parade in New York, they always have these over the mailboxes because they're afraid somebody's going to drop a bomb in them and kill a lot of people. But in a way, that mailbox to me that day when I wrote this long letter to my mom, it looked like that. I thought, man, I don't want to put this in there. I don't want to write all my feelings on a piece of paper. I don't know. And then I, you know, it doesn't have a stamp. But after about 4 hours of writing my mom a long, long letter, I walked down to the corner there in Frisco and I dropped it in the mailbox. And it's hard for me to describe to you what actually happened, but something happened that day in my soul. As soon as I dropped it in, I just started bawling on the street corner. And I forgave my mom, and I forgave her husband, and then I forgave her next husband, and I forgave her next husband, and I forgave everybody at one time because, listen, it freed not her. It freed me. So when you're drinking poison, thinking that it's going to hurt them, it's not. Well, I'm going to hate them. No, that's going to hurt you. I'm going to make them pay. No. You got to take it and you got to open up the mailbox and you got to send that bad boy away and say, from this moment forward, God has forgiven me the big debt. I'm going to forgive them the little debt. And then you walk away clean, whole. Come on, somebody. Not hurt, not hostile, not held hostage. Come on, give God praise today. Because you let him go. Now, in our last like 4 minutes, let's just go over a few little spots I wanted to make sure we covered in Genesis 16. It says, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had bore no children. How many of y'all know that makes a woman feel like I got to do something? She had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abraham, see now, my Lord. Also, I really love that where she called her husband Lord. I've tried that with Nicole and she says no. He's restrained me from bearing children. She said, please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain a child by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. How many of y'all know he'd never listened to her before? Like, take out the garbage. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar as the maid, and he gave to her husband to him. And then at the end it says that she saw that she had conceived, and her mistress became despised in her eyes. A minute ago, they were in love with each other. He's just like, man, I could never imagine us not. We're almost like family. And then now, the hurt sets in. The next verse we're going to is verse 6. It says, so Abraham said to Sarah, indeed, your maid is now in your hands. Do with her as you please. And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Sometimes when you have animosity towards people, you don't even have to say mean things to them. They can just tell you don't like them. Anyhow, I've got a hard question to ask. How many of you have got some people in your life that maybe you work with, maybe you go to church with, but some people, when you see them, you just don't like them. You don't even know why you don't like them. They just don't have favor in your sight. You just don't like them. And they can feel that. And she felt that. Now, the interesting part is once she ran down away, verse 7 says, Hagar, it says, the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. Notice God knows exactly where you are, even if you're mistreated by somebody who you were technically doing a favor for. She said, I'm feeling from the presence of the Lord. In verse 9 says, the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress, submit yourself under her hand, and I will multiply your descendants exceedingly. Submit yourself. There's something powerful about submission. The Bible says, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God, and then you'll be free. The Bible said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Everybody quotes that part where they say, Satan will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. They leave out that first part. You got to submit to God, and then he flees. By that, I mean, you keep falling into this hurtful behavior. You keep looking for love in all the wrong places. But the fact is, we're not submitting to God. What's that mean? I mean, I've never been faithful to church. I never went through growth track. I don't think I really have to go to church to actually experience God. I think God's in the woods. Most certainly God's in the woods. And God's in a bar. But there's a lot more chemistry, environment, anointing that happens when you get up in the house here in West Palm. Give God praise today. That causes God to be able to touch you where you need to be touched to get healed. The very next chapter, I love this in verse 9. It says, Sarah saw the son, Hagar, of the Egyptian woman had born, scoffing her son. Therefore, she said to Abraham, cast out the bondwoman. No longer is it the sweet precious maid that lives with us. Notice now there's a lot of hurt talking. The bondwoman and the heir, get rid of them. And the verse 11 says, and the matter was very displeasing to Abraham because it was his son. When we make decisions on our own to help God out, we tend to get ourselves in a pickle. We tend to get ourselves in, wow, I didn't think that all the way through. You've heard me say a million times, if you've been here very long, you may get what you want, but you might not want what you get. It's like driving. This last week, I went off in the mud a little bit with, I have Nicole's car, and it's not the kind of vehicle that you could go off in the mud in, but I have a Jeep, and I just decided, because boys will be boys, that I wanted to get down in the mud, and I went into a pristine creek, but within a minute, it was all muddy because I had went in there, drove around, drove back out. But the vehicle was capable of getting in and getting out. But if I'd been in Nicole's car, I couldn't get in, and I couldn't get out. So the vehicle that I'm talking about right now to help you out of the mess you're in, the hurt you're in, the hostility you're in, is ultimately Jesus and his word, but then also you can't forget his house. And right now during COVID-19, and everybody's so afraid of what's going to get them. But I just read a report today about our brothers and sisters in China, and now more people have died of suicide than of COVID. And I'm not making light of COVID, it's very real, but I'm just telling you that people are made to be with other people, and people are made to go to the house of God. People are made to worship in the house of God. I'm here to tell you, you just got to go ahead and go to the mailbox and send that letter. And the mailbox might be this church coming in. You don't even have to address yourself or your issues. You're just saying, I'm moving forward, knowing that God is going to bless me, help me, heal me. Last verse I want to read before we go. Verse 13, it says, then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. Hagar's out there in the wilderness by herself, actually near a creek, and said, you are the God who sees. You are the God who sees. This time of the year, we sing a song, and it says, he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Sing it with me now. He knows if you've been battered. That's Santa Claus, but Jesus really does know where you've been. I'd like to dismiss our audience right now in the UK and Africa. Give them a hand right now, Faith TV. Bless you for being here. You guys still have 2 more minutes. What I really want to encourage you to do here and at all campuses is to know that he is the God that sees, and he saw the day I hired that guy that would betray me, and I had a little bit of a scratching that I shouldn't have hired the guy, but I needed somebody so bad, and he was so qualified on paper, and he talked so good. By the way, I've learned, and over, it seemed like about 5 years ago, something clicked into me that I found out that people that interview good sometimes aren't the best people to interview because they've been on so many interviews. The people who interview badly is because they've only been on one or two. It's like, you suck at this, but the professional interviewers aren't necessarily the ones that you need. Side note, however, quite beneficial. It could work with your baby daddy that you're looking for. It could work with that girl that you've been eyeing up. Because the God who sees doesn't look at the outward appearance or the need to fill the hole in your soul. The God who sees says, I'm looking at the heart of the person, and you shouldn't make your decisions based on an outward look. You should base it on an inward heart of a person. I want every head bowed and every eye closed, and I want the musicians to come. And I want to give you an opportunity right now. I think in the seats, and if you're at our local campuses, you'll see that there's a little card there that you can actually take, and I want you to grab that card. Did they give you a card perchance? We're going to take a minute. We're going to sing through this for a moment, but I want to give you an opportunity. You don't have to sign your name or anything to that. Here in West Palm, I want you to write out those couple things that you know they betrayed you, they hurt you, they left you in the lurch, they stained your good name, they ruined your credit. And I want you to write down that situation because you're going to mail that letter today. Father, I pray right now in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus that you will allow the Holy Spirit to touch each and every heart here and online. God, as we write out that letter of freedom, we're letting people go. We'll no longer be broken, but we will be free. God, like I did with my own mom, I released it and I let him go. And I moved into my calling and my anointing. And God, after that, it seemed like my ministry just skyrocketed. After that, our finances exploded. After that, I never felt that sick, weak feeling of my mom owed me something. I knew that nobody owed me anything, but I just owed all of my love and all of my forgiveness towards everyone because God had forgiven me. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening today. And I want to encourage you to share this podcast. And here's the reason why. You know, a lot of times we see our friends and they don't tell us what's really going on. You go, hey, Bob, are you all right? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. But deep down in their soul, something's going on. And I believe today there were certain things that was said that perhaps would help your friends. So now that you've subscribed, why don't you just text them? Let them know about this resource that's available. Of course, you can check out more sermons at faithchurch.com. And I love praying for you, trying to encourage you in the best way that I can. And I think the best thing we can do is to encourage one another by sharing these podcasts.